Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the ground. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. One from I'm Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kingsville Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. We have the full panel of three tonight, and of course we are previewing the Group 1 Black Caviar Lightning Stakes. It is the first edition of the race where the great mare, the first edition where she has been sadly passed away, but that just means we get to reflect on all those great memories. 25 from 25. I don't think we'll ever see that again. We've also got the Group 2 Apollo Stakes at Randwick. We see three of the big guns of the Australian turf return, including the best horse in Australia, one of the best horses in the world, Via Sestina. My name is Ben Coluzzi. I'm joined by Nick McGualter and Will Alford. Fellas, we've got some very exciting news on this podcast. We've got a world first, and it's not that Nico is back on the podcast. It's that Will is having a bet in Sydney.
So it's not the first time ever.
So punters, you need to stick around for this.
Yeah.
I didn't back Vs. I backed Buckaroo.
Yeah, well, maybe it's a second, but I don't know. It's been very few and far between.
It doesn't count. He's not a real horse.
He paid. He definitely paid.
Yeah, well, broken clocks right two times a day. He had his day.
I actually think Flemington is very difficult this week.
And oh, Nico, put it in the bin.
You might be the same train thought as me.
I looked at it and I'm like, nah, fuck it. I'm not even bothering.
There was one
horse that you could, or one race you could bet into confidently. I think you can back one, save the other. But apart from that, I just binned it. When you've got morals in Sydney, you don't need a bet at Flemington.
Yeah. One kind bookmaker.
Oh,
$4.40.
You've been proper blessed here. The perks of just sitting at behind the desk.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I was getting a sandwich and a coffee when.
Yeah, you don't have a fucking excuse. You're just stupid because you missed it. I actually had a genuine...
Someone should have called me or something.
Oh, fucking boo-hoo. You don't call anyone else before you snipe a price.
Yeah, because how does that happen?
I reckon it might have been my bet that took it straight from 440 back into 390, but there was still 390 there for like another minute. Or a minute and a half, and then it all just went to shit.
I wonder how that happened. Like that sort of stuff doesn't happen very often.
Yeah,
and because it's sports bet too, like all the other small ones who have a bot that just follows all the prices, so all of them would have went out with it.
Yeah,
so it wouldn't have just been sports bet. That would have been like heaps of little smaller bookies that would have just got hammered.
And because it's sports bet, they'll actually honor the bet, whereas some of these smaller ones.
No, they'll have to honor the bet.
Oh, you'd be surprised, bot. Like, I've been with some of those
pretty spineless. Sportsbet are probably going to, they'll probably
they'll honour the bet. They'll honour it.
Some of these other mobs, if it was outside of sort of the big five, no way.
Yeah.
Lots is happening in the racing sphere at the moment, isn't it? Like the two big dogs in the radio airways world, they're both sponsored by the same mob. Bet365 are taking over. Probably all of the self-plugging that Ben's given them over the time. Everyone's finally caught on to how good the mob is, and now they sponsor RSN and SEN.
Come on board. I know Nico and I can get on. Will can't get on, but
oh. It's a bit like while we're on radio and he's not, I suppose.
Oh, he talks a big game, Will. He hasn't been on in a few weeks and he's
all guns blazing. I was genuinely coming on last week and it was an actual emergency, so I do apologise to the punters. I'm sure I was dearly not missed. I'm sure I was dearly not missed. They were quite happy that I didn't end up making it. But anyway, I'm back now. So
a certain question asker was very disappointed that you weren't on.
I don't know who you're talking about, because we've gone through and we've cleared out some people in the questions box.
Jesus,
some people are banned.
That's an almighty sip. You got the 3 liter. Bottle, you're ready to go. Hydration station.
I've had a coffee.
Rumor on the street is there's a bit happening in Bot's world at the moment, so I'm sure he's.
Why is that?
Oh,
a new Bonnie Lass.
No.
That's the word on the street.
There's no word.
Oh, well, that's just a word going around the traps.
Onto the racing, please.
Onto the racing.
This is a racing podcast, remember?
We've left a few teasers at the top of the program, including a horse that I got $4.44 and a horse that will be backing in Sydney.
Can I have a bet on the overs, the amount of times that he gets to mention that he's got $4.40 about the moral at Flemington?
But if you want to find out
already
who
at three.
That is, if you want to find out who that is and who Bot's backing, then you just kind of have to listen to the whole episode and make sure our ratings go up. Give us a nice little 5 stars on Spotify as well. That would be greatly appreciated. All right, let's get into the racing, shall we? Flemington on Saturday, Will. There is some speculative rain sort of hanging around. We've got the rail in the true position, and again, we've got this south-westerly or south-easterly wind, which sometimes does favour those on speed. Do you have any thoughts going into this weekend about the track?
It's Thursday, so it's hard to really say with the weather conditions, but I'm just it's Flemington. I think when you're dealing with Flemington, you don't sort of plan ahead for anything. You just sort of go as the day sort of happens, I guess. Like, you know, because I just love betting at Flemington because it's very hard to predict a pattern at Flemington unless it's during the spring carnival where you can see a pattern during a week like sort of happening. But like, you know, I don't really ever plan for any sort of track pattern at Flemington.
Yeah. I don't know why I keep asking you. Every time it's Flemington, you give me the same answer, but I still keep asking you how you think the track might play. But maybe I'm just giving my voice a bit of a break. All right, race one is a benchmark 78 over 2,000 metres. It is 12:15, and Revelare is the $2.90 favourite. Goes up in the weights from Kings Valley, $5.50, Miss Tarzi, $6, LeZebra, $7.50, and talking about weights, Shiny New Deal does meet the favourite better at $8. How do you want to play this one?
I just think that the that race that Revelare and Shiny New Deal come through rates all over the top of Kings Valley, and the race Miss Tarzi come through, and I want to take a set against that form, and I want to back Revelare getting up to 2,000 metres. I just love the style of him. The time they ran, you know, they don't run many 1,800 metre races at Sandown, but the time they ran was huge. The margins, there's a lot to like about it. And I just love the way he's just a grinder. And I think getting up to 2,000 metres, he's a really nice horse, Revelare. And I think he can continue to improve. He's a bit of a pedigree behind him as well. His granddad won a Sydney Cup. So he's going to keep improving, getting out and trip. And Shiny New Deal obviously gets the big weight drop. And I think he's probably peaked in his preparation last time, but you know, he ran so well last time on a No, $8 getting out to a really nice price. I'll probably back him as well.
Just wanted to make note of something. I found it very interesting, all this chat, that there was a lot of what I perceive to be smart pundits that wanted to take on Revelare last start because they thought coming out of the slowly run race, coming into what was going to be a race with more pace was going to be a downfall. If you look at all of his races, the best part of his races, it only gets stronger and stronger as the race gets longer. So there was never going to be an issue. The faster the pace, the better he's going to be. Like it's going to be more of his Achilles heel the slower the races are run.
Yeah, he wasn't suited in that race two back when.
No, and he still won. Like as the races get better, he's going to continue to get better because the better the race, usually the better the tempo. It's going to be interesting to see where he goes because he's getting deep-ish into a prep now. So,
fifth up. On Saturday.
Don't know.
Nico's eyeing those couples and saying,
he'd be a great one on couples, but I don't know if he's going to, I don't know if that would be high on the pecking order. They're probably thinking something a little bit better than that. But
he might be a bit too good for that by the time May rolls around. Race two is the Talendur. It's a two-year-old listed race over 1,100 metres, and it is down the straight. The interesting thing here is the three favourites in the market all opened a longer price than they are now. So all three of them have been really well-backed, and there's been no scratchings. Sword of Legacy is $3.30, from Shining Smile, $3.90, and Blethyn, the debut horse, is $4.20. Now, we've got another debutant who's around the mark in ammo as well at $7.50. James McDonald rides Brave Design at $8. Will, you know, I reckon you might be on the favourite again here.
You know who Blethyn's named after?
No.
He's an ex-Essendon player, apparently, so I found out. Okay. I thought you'd be all over that shit. You're a freak like that, but...
No. I'm the horse race.
Do you blokes even barrack for Essendon?
Yeah, well, yes. Unfortunately, Ben, I've just sat through 25 years of torture. It's too late to abort now. I would have got life.
I can't say that I know who Blethyn was either. Anyway, what? Sort of Legacy on top?
Yeah. I'm going to be backing it. It's got a ratings edge on the other, on especially Shining Smile. I don't think it's particularly any good. So,
I've got a theory about
it. 1,100. Okay. Getting out to 1,100 metres, I think it'll suit. He's by too darn hot. And I like the progression. The sectional times over the top of a good time last start at Sandown. The only sort of query I have is the trainer. He's going no good at all. And he's a young trainer, but he's you know, you look at the last 50, last 100, he's run a lot of placings. And he's, you know... Once those sort of start converting into wins, you know, it could just be sort of luck. I mean, it's sort of luck based, I think, because he's running a lot of seconds and thirds. So, in the market might really late have take a set against him, and I'm fine with that. He's a lot faster than the horses in this race, and I want to back him.
Beautiful.
Jamie Carlton, 2 year olds. Just
Jamie Mellon to you, mate.
Sorry, Jamie Mellon. Yeah,
she only gets called Jamie nowadays. The whole Mellum car thing is too confusing. I just call her Jamie now.
Race four, we do skip race three, and the fourth is a mile. It's a benchmark 84. Verdad is $4.20 favorite. Would you believe it? Adam Blanco made this his best bet of the day. I was just listening to the Racing in Sports podcast before.
That's utterly sick.
If Bot is backing it as well, I reckon he might be going to have
no
chance.
Doubt. He's going to.
Arcana is $5.50, from Zeriab $6, Smoking Princess $8, Moira Brothers Keeper $10, and Far Flung $13.
He's going to. I can just tell by him just giggling like a little schoolgirl. This is fucking cool.
This is the biggest Will Alford Adam Blanco bet I've ever seen.
These blokes need to hang their heads in shame, seriously.
He's got a ratings edge over a lot of these horses, and he's going forward.
These two blokes call themselves shrewd. And they're tipping a horse that's won one from fucking 14. Couldn't be any scared of the winning post, any more scared of the winning post if he tried. You've nearly won more races than him.
He's the best horse in this race, and I think he'll improve. I think go forward in this time. I think I think you probably get a better price. Concussion plates scares the living shit out of me, but
concussion plates to add on top of it.
Concussion plates are the least of your worries.
Yeah, no, I'll be honest. I think it's a 360 chance. So,
I hope you bet each way.
No, I'm not a pussy.
So no, they went back last start. Are you sure they're going forward this time?
Well, they better.
Well, J-Mac said that he's better ridden with a sit because he gets to the front and he stargazes, so he needs to get there and dive bomb him.
J-Mac's a good rider. I don't know about
J-Mac's tactician. The best in the world.
Yeah, I know, but that doesn't mean he's a good tactician.
How do you make that? How do you make that conclusion?
He is good. I don't know.
He doesn't stargaze.
He's only the best in the world just because of his ability, not because of the brain that aids.
No. I'd take that back, but that's a dumb statement. Verdad, he's not scared of the post. They're fucking racehorses.
Oh, I haven't done the form for this race, but I reckon my best bet will be trifecta. Field, Verdad, field. Fill your boots. Absolutely fill up. All right, we go to race 7. It is the first leg of the quaddie. It is the CS Hay Stakes, 1,400 metres, group 3 for the Colts and Geldings, 3 years old. Of course, it's always a great pointer to the Australian Guineas. It's going to be a very interesting race. I don't think there's any alligator bloods or catalysts in this race, but Royal Insignia has been very good, is $3.90 favourite from Sapal's, $6. Feroce was an overachiever in the Caulfield Guineas, $7.50, and Henline, $10. Possibly the class horse, but there could be an STI coming, speaking racing and sports chat from Barrier 15. Will, who'd you like?
I'm sort of Royal Insignia. I have favourite about $3.80s, $4 now. They've trimmed up that price a little bit. I think he was really good and ran some nice splits first up. I think he'll improve out to 14. Feroce looks a little bit big to me at the moment. He ran second at Caulfield Guineas. He was probably lucky too, but you know, first up behind Growing Empire, I didn't get a crack at him, and he was just as good as anything in the Guineas Prelude behind Angel Capital, Public Attention, and the rest of those, and then went really, really quickly into a strong headwind and got belted up by Eliana. But he was, you know, that's forgivable. Trialed as if he was healthy, and he probably gets the best map in the race, you'd think. So $8 is a backable price for me. So my betting, I probably won't back anything until Saturday, but it just depends on what the market does. If they get a backable price or Royal Insignia, then I'll back him. I think the horse I probably will end up backing is Henline, because I think the market will continue to drift it out. But I just think this horse could be, you know, he could just be a lot better than them and run all over the top of them. So I'll be on him at probably ends up like 15s Betfair or something. So I'll probably be on it. And I'll definitely have something on No Strings Attached, who won really, really well at Pakenham and ran some nice sectional times. So main bet in the race is probably between Feroce and Royal Insignia, just depending what the market does. And I'll definitely have something on No Strings Attached. And then at 15s or so, at fair, if he continues to get out, I'll back Henline.
Sweet. So No Strings Attached is currently $26 with Tab.
He's 35 somewhere.
35, so...
Yeah, probably jump like 40s better.
Beautiful. All right, there's something for everyone there at either end of the market. The Group 1 and the highlight of the day is the Black Caviar Lightning Stakes, 1,000 metres Group 1 down the straight. Switzerland is $2.70, favourite from Growing Empire, $3.80, IME, $7.50, Traffic Warden, $8, Benedetto, $11, Marzu, $18, and Mornington Glory is a Group 1 winner at 1,000. He's also unbeaten at 1,000, is $26. Firstly, the speed. I think this is very interesting because your main speed horse is obviously Joyful Fortune, Way to the Stars, Philosopher, I Am Me, and maybe to a slightly lesser extent, Growing Empire will just be thereabouts as well. It's going to be very interesting to see whether they split. You could have Joyful Fortune going up sort of the middle to inside and Traffic Warden follows him, or will they all bunch up together and come towards the outside? I think it's advantage the middle to outside barriers, but I just want to hear your thoughts first. Will, who do you think wins this?
Well, it's a hard race to have a bet in. I think what the mark, I don't know. It's really, really hard. I think the horse I'm most likely to back is Switzerland, but that's at 340 or better. The market's come for Growing Empire early, but it's interesting with Growing Empire. He hasn't really, really run a figure yet, and people will say, well, he runs third in the Everest, but that Everest form is junk. It's no good. And then it got sat in its face in the Cornwall when Switzerland belted them up. But, you know, you could argue that he was over the top by then, and you could use the expected rating, which was about 103, which is just about what I've used here. Because I think he continues to improve. Like, he's a horse that I think will keep improving as he gets older. And I think probably Switzerland will as well. And the other thing is, I think they're probably both 1,200-meter horses. And especially Traffic Warden, I think he's a miler, realistically. I think 1,000 meters is way too short for him. So, you know, you go looking for the older horses form over 1,000 meters, and there's just not much here, I don't think. I mean, IME is a nice horse, and she can run a rating, but I think that she's well-found enough at 750. It's hard. I couldn't push anyone into a bet at these prices now, unless you got the 440 for Switzerland earlier. But you know, I think 340 is the sort of price where I start having a think about backing Switzerland. I probably can't see myself backing anything else. I think maybe the only horse I could think about having something tiny on is Joyful Fortune, who I thought was quite good first up, and then off a really, really long break, and he can run a number. Like, they've got him absolutely right, and he was really well backed that day, which was surprising to me. So I could not. I might not even have a bet in this race. Who knows?
Yeah. Look, I think it's mainly a race in three, and I do think the market has it pretty well spot on. I was tossing and turning which three-year-old I wanted to back out of Switzerland and Growing Empire. My decision was made very easy for me earlier today when Sportsbet did put up the $4.40 for Switzerland. Is he a 1,000-meter horse? Probably not. And can you sort of just plug in his Coolmore rating and just say he's going to bolt in here? No, you can't. But he's still on top. His straight line speed is just the best in the race. I think he does have the best turn of foot in the race. Growing Empire has been ultra consistent, and he keeps running around that 100 range. But Switzerland is coming off a career peak, and he's resuming here, whereas Growing Empire is coming off a big end of prep run. I know he's had the reset, and he's been, you know, possibly jumping out even sharper than Switzerland. But I just think I'm going to have more regrets backing Growing Empire than backing Switzerland at the end of the day. And Switzerland just seems to be the one who can elevate to that next level, as he showed last start. So Switzerland is on top for me. Growing Empire is my second pick, but the other bet I've had already is IME, backed her at $11. The setup for her is just outstanding. She draws barrier 12 of 12. She is probably a 1,000 to 1,100 meter horse, which a lot of these horses aren't. And she's just drawn the perfect part of the track just to tag the leaders. And she will be hitting the front at some stage. She did run 102 first and second up last preparation when winning both of those. And I just think she's going to be in this for a very long way. So Switzerland and IME are the two bets I've had, and they're the only two real overlays in the market that I have as well. I've got Mornington Glory a little bit shorter than 30-1, but yeah, I just think IME and Mornington Glory, they're both 1,000-meter horses, but Flemington potentially might find them out when they don't have that rail to sort of skip away from the more classy horses. But I'm still Switzerland from IME. Growing Empire is in my trifecta, but he's the right price now, maybe even a little short. Nico?
Yeah, I'm chips in the Switzerland camp. I thought he should probably be about a 220 chance. Yeah, more than happy to be with him. He's working the lead up to this has been spot on. He's drawn in the right part of the track. Yes, he's better over further, but I don't think 1,000 metres at HQ is going to be any issue for him here. There's plenty of speed. He'll just camp in just behind that, and he'll go whoosh, just like he did to most of these last time. This is not the A-grade lot. I believe that he'll step up and announce himself as the best sprinter in the land on Saturday, and I think he'll take care of this lot. I'm not really worried about Growing Empire. I think his trials have been pretty avvy in the lead-up to this. He's been getting himself pretty worked up. And yeah, I'm just happy to oppose him. I think the main danger to Switzerland is Traffic Warden. Obviously, this horse boasts a pretty sexy SP profile versus the other two. Traffic Warden went off favourite in the Coolmore. All reports are that his head's a little bit more in the game on Saturday, so I'm waiting to see what he's like on Saturday. But at this rate, he's going to start between $8 to $10, and I think he is a very, very easy saver. You don't have to have much on if you're going to be loading into Switzerland like I think I'm going to be. I think Traffic Warden's going to be an easy saver at that price because he does have his fair share of talent. Whether this is just a look before he goes to the new market in a couple of weeks, I'm not sure. But he's the only possible danger to Switzerland, I believe. So at those prices, you know what to do, punters. You can sort yourselves out there. But, yeah, I think Switzerland's a serious animal. And, yeah, he's probably a little bit more brilliant than Home Affairs. And Home Affairs went on to win this race. I know different horses, different races, etc. But he oozes a bit of class, Switzerland. And I think he's going to show that on Saturday.
Yeah. Traffic Warden does have Newmarket written all over him because he hasn't got the Group 1 next to his name. That means his rating's a little bit lower. So he's probably going to be getting 3 kilos off Switzerland when they do go to 1,200 metres next up. Whether that's going to be enough to beat Switzerland, we'll see. But that does seem more his race, in my opinion.
I still think he can win.
On Saturday. Yeah. Yeah. Potentially, like he's been jumping out and trialing very sharp.
You just need to see what it's like on race day, because if he gets to the mounting yard and he carries on like Bot on a Saturday night, well, he's none, is he?
Yeah. Benedetta looks the big hole in the market, $11. I had her about double that price.
There's some serious holes in this market. Like I understand why you're sticking up for IME. Yes, she's probably never going to be better placed to make a Group 1 winner of herself, but I just don't know. I think there's three proper colts here, and I think for all three of them to fall over is what's required for her to win, and I just can't see all three of them turning up to the races and going bad.
I think IME's chance is that if we have seen this in times gone by where the wheels have spun of these class horses or 1,200-meter horses. We saw Bivouac. In the Lightning, he got pants by Nature Strip. He ended up bolting in with a new market, but his wheels spun over 1,000. If they do go fast and IME is just in behind the speed, that is her only chance. If, you know, Switzerland and Going Empire just sort of have the wheels spinning, and if 1,000 metres is too sharp, she doesn't have the big knockout blow that Switzerland does. Not many horses in this race do. But, yeah, that's her chance.
No horse in Australia has the run that he had on Coolmore Day.
I think there's every chance.
There's a horse in Sydney who might.
Yeah, well, maybe if she's fresh.
Yes.
But.
Yeah, well, she might have gone closer than Everest if she had even mark as well.
I just think there's so much more to come with Switzerland. I just think it's just so exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think you'll just camp on. I think you'll just camp behind the hot speed again and just go whoosh.
Sweet. Marzu, he's been a very honest campaigner for a long time. I wouldn't be surprised if he ran top three, but probably won't.
Yeah, he's one of those horses that won't run the rating that's required to win this race, but he's an absolute certainty to run top six.
He might win a Wong Yoom. That's about his level.
That is so harsh.
But he's past his best. He was a good horse back in his day, but he's just not. He's just a second hero nowadays.
Yeah, to be fair, two is a Group 1 winner and won the Wongoom last year. It's not the most outrageous statement Nico's ever said.
Yeah. You don't get too many class horses like Tuvalu going to a Wongoom.
And they bet $10. Fair dinkum.
Yeah, but no one's thought they were going for it.
I don't know. I think I've got Marzu a little bit too long. I reckon he'll run a little bit better than market expectations.
Joe reckons he's going all right. He reckons sometimes with these older horses,
Joe reckons Cheerwolf has got bloody Via Sustainer covered, and there's just no evidence of that yet.
He's not short of a bold statement, is he, Joe? He likes to get a little bit. It is very much cart before the horse when he's got a good one.
Oh, mate, it's been going on for as long as I can remember.
He was Nature Strip's punching bag from an eternity, Eduardo, and now he's finally got another good one.
When Eduardo and Terra Vista were racing at their best, Joe Pride was just. Oh, he loves it. He absolutely loves it. Anyway, it's good for the game. Race 9 is the Desirable Stakes. It's a three-year-old listed event for the fillies. Killer Cap is $4.80 by 20 cents in front of Captured by Love, $5. Sneaky Sunrise, $6.50. Good Sort, $7.50. And the 1,000 Guineas winner, another profit, is $8. Will, what have you found here?
I'll be on, well, I already am on, Killer Cap. I think she's a really, really nice horse. She ran really fast time, and I mean, I'm a little bit cautious about the times and the ratings out of the Caulfield Heath, you know, just because there's no sample size. But she ran quicker than the listed race on the same day, and that the listed race wasn't slowly run by any means. Like, it wasn't quick, but it was, you know, they didn't. She ran really quick, is my point, and the form sort of stood up behind them. Color Our Worlds ran some really nice races behind, you know, some nice enough three-year-olds. Like, that form's better than this, but she absolutely belted them. She's a really nice horse, I think. The map's a little bit sticky, but, yeah, I want to be on her. She's a nice horse, I think. And that Macedon Rose, too. I wanted to be against her. I backed Glenn Finnan. It was about a 15% firm. It was like $8 into $3 favorite, and Macedon Rose was completely out the gate of a bad figure, and she, like, it was one for the eyes guys. The eyes guys loved her debut, and she drifted massively, and then she pissed in her second start as a massive drifter. So Macedon Rose is beyond my side too.
Sweet.
I'm scared of another profit. I'm very scared of another profit.
She might still be one away, I reckon.
Maybe.
But we'll soon see. Race 10 is a 1,400-meter benchmark, 84. Sunshine in My Pocket, $2.90. Is It Me? Got himself back in the winner's enclosure last start, $5.50. Porter, $8. Euphoric, $8.50. Eugenius, $11. This is not an easy race by any means to close out the card. Who will you be backing if you find a bet, Will?
I think the favorite is way too short. Is It Me ran a really nice figure last time, and I think it's $6.57. If I get that on the day, I'll be on it. And I think Lounge Bar Ruby is another one I might be on too. So I'm against the favorite at the early prices, just because I think it's way too short. It's I think it'd be three or four back the fence and in an awkward position, and it's lightly raced and progressive. It could piss in, but I couldn't take 2-1 for it. So
Barrier 1 is a little bit icky.
Is It Me ran a really nice figure last time, and I think he's best at Flemington. So
Is It Me, Ben, and I see different people nowadays. Ben, you can.
Yeah, it won.
I'm still not over it. I pinned this horse 3 months out from Warrnambool, said, yep, this is his race. He starts 5.50 on the day, and he still hasn't finished.
What price did we get, like 17s or something?
Oh, yeah, like 18 to 1 or 19 to 1.
I've got a worse story.
Like, I back Tuvalu, but I'm still flat.
We must be the only podcast in Australia who are doing a preview on Black Caviar Lightning Stakes Day in February, and we've mentioned the Wongoom 6 times. No. It'd be a record.
You know what happens. As soon as that first Group 1 rolls around, now I'm on the search for Wongoom and Warrnambool Cup winners. Jumpers will be back shortly. The sooner we get into the carnival, the sooner May's here. That's all I care about.
I backed Is It Me at its third start at Flemington behind Meridius when it was a moral beaten up. I'll never forgive Damien Thornton for it. I backed it off a Penshurst Maiden in Morphville Park's form. It was about $6 into $3, and Damien Thornton gave it the worst ride of all time. It should have won by 2 lengths. Anyway,
yeah, I'll never forget
that. The great game. Anyway,
the Wongoom is to Nico what the Koonji is to
actually, I should actually mention, it's a fitting touch what was released. I don't know if you boys were across it, but the Warrnambool Racing Club announced today that there's going to be 3 race name changes, and it's going to be the Colin McKenna Wongoom.
Oh, beautiful.
So that's a fitting touch. Cool. Now that's one of his horses in those colours has got to win.
So another Will first up in the Wongoom.
Well, Chorten Lane would be the perfect horse for the Wongoon, but he's not in those colours anymore. That'd be his race, 1,200 metres wet track. He's only a listed horse. Perfect race for it.
Yeah. We didn't speak about that race. Will, what do you think about that race really quickly before we go to move on to Flemington, the Chorten Lane race?
Which race is it?
The Elms.
Race 6, Rise at Dawn's returning. Chorten Lane draws Barrier 1. Yeah. Chorten Lane's drawn Barrier 1 4 times in a row.
I know.
He's got as much intestinal fortitude as Vidad, I think.
I don't know. I couldn't get off market in this race. I thought it was very tricky and I didn't want to back anything.
Yeah, neither. If I forced a bet, I'd probably have Rise at Dawn on top.
Yeah, I think Chorten Lane's just the box ticker, but you can't take $3 for it. I wouldn't have thought. Like, it's a, you know, you'd have to have it running a career peak. And
it could be end of prep soon. I know yeah, you don't really forecast for that, but.
Bob doesn't believe in those things.
All right, let's move on to Randwick, where I'm saying the
real racing starts.
The better racing's going on.
Snooze fest for 33 minutes and 57 seconds.
There's just so many good bets here. The rail is in the 4 meter position, and I've just refreshed Racing Australia, and I've got some exciting news. It's back to a soft 5 punters.
Oh, it'll be a good 4 by race day, don't worry.
You absolute beauty. They do have some rain around tomorrow, but that should just be perfect. No irrigation on the track, just natural rain and a soft 5 or soft 6. That'll do me. Race 3 is a Piero Plate, 2-year-old 1,100 metres, Peloton 240, Shaggy $5, United States $5.50, and Skyhook $7.50.
Great name.
What, Shaggy?
Yeah. That was literally why he got his name. He was just trying to shag everything around the stables. What a unit. Now, then they had to snip him, and now he's turned into actually half a decent horse.
How was he $5.50? What the fuck?
I was trying to figure out a Scooby-Doo joke or reference, but I couldn't think of one.
Well, that's originally what Falgate led with today.
What's the chick's name in Scooby-Doo? Alma or
Daphne?
Something? Daphne.
Yeah, which one?
And Velma.
Velma, that's the one. Velma. Velma, I don't know what it is. Anyway, are you saying Shaggy's a little bit too long, bot?
Short, it looks short to me. Like
short, right.
It's Andrew Bullock and A. Kohee coming off 800 metre Coffs Harbour in Sunshine Coast form. Like, I mean, look, there's margins there.
But Peloton is a gap between runs, but he just has a very good setup here. He's going to stalk the speed from barrier 2. Shaggy's going to go straight to the front. Is it a bit of a squib? There is a potential for that. Out to 1,100 metres. And I just think Peloton is the map horse in this race. United States I've got a lot of time for, but he's Chris Waller, second up, drawn barrier 10 with K-Mac on. It just looks like a bit of a hook job for him, and he might be peaking in races like the Golden Slipper and the Size Produce. So Peloton has been trialing up very nicely. I thought his trial in behind North England finishing off super was very good. He does boast the peak rating in this race, putting away Chergai, the sort of average Godolphin horse, but did win by 3 lengths on debut and, you know, said, I'm a slipper horse straight away. So I think you get $2.50 Peloton, and I'm happy enough to have a bet there.
What about Hillier? That looks big to me. Remember that horse? It's a nice looking horse. That's good splits behind Blitzberg.
Blitzberg, yeah, that race went all right. Nordic Viking also sort of like crossed the line with United States, so you could make a case.
Well, how is that thing $18 and it'll probably be in front of United States because that'll go back. It's K-Mac Waller drawn 10. So one $6.
Probably because it's Molly Burke and John Sargent. It's a so you think horse. Maybe it will be looking for further in time, but
yeah
I don't know. I'm happy to back in Peloton.
The one, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Race 4 is a 1600 meter benchmark 88. Yorkshire started $1.60 in the same grade of race last start and is now $2.40.
Madness.
Why is that? Maybe because Anna Roper gets on and J-Mac gets off, but if that's the only reason, then $2.40 looks all right to me. Sandpaper, $7.50. Hedley Grange, $9.50. Mishuela, $9.50. And Madatsu, $13.
Nico, Anna Roper. She's Anna Roper is just...
She's roping in the winners.
She's doing certain things to the market at the moment.
Yeah, she's absolutely doing to you. Yeah, she should
no.
You should just be.
That people take that out of context. Don't say that.
So we can't upset the new missile. Mm,
yeah, see, just the whispers that are getting more truthful by the minute. This is a fantastic bet. Anna Roper is flying, and she's not getting put on all these type of horses if she's no good. She's going super up there. She's flying under the radar. She's been a key pillar. Well, I shouldn't say key pillar, but she's been part of the success of Bjorn. She's been riding a lot for him. So, yeah, she can certainly ride, and I'm putting a lot of faith in her on Saturday. There's two horses I think she can absolutely win on, and at the end of the day, she's not getting put on these horses if she's no good. So this is a sit and steer. Even Bot could ride this.
I probably couldn't. I'd probably fall off.
Yeah, you probably would fall off, you clumsy prick, wouldn't you? But this will just win. Just drawn a good gate. Keen to see him out to the mile. It's just a classic, just cashing in prize money before they have to go to a listed or black tight race after this, I'd imagine, unless they try and find a benchmark 100. But, he's all over a group horse. We thought that last start, and J-Mac gave him a peach. And I hope Anna does too. He's clearly one of the better bets on the day for me.
Beautiful. I've got some Anna Roper statistics just here on Form King. Last 100 starts, 20 wins, going at 20%, obviously, 9 seconds and 5/3, an ROI of 102.3%, and wins to expected just over 2.2. So she is low flying.
What was the market percentage, did you say?
Her return on investment?
Yeah.
102%. So you're more than doubling your money, backing her blindly the last 100 starts. She is going to go straight to near the front with Yorkshire here. And as I said off the top, this horse started at $1.60 last time. Beat Sandpaper, was only a length, but he looks the one more suited stepping up to 1,600 metres. I think he just finds a perfect spot, hopefully in the 1-1, or if she has to keep pressing on to find the outside lead spot, then you just do so. I would mark this horse.
This is not closer. A good race.
I would mark this horse about $1.90, maybe even $1.80. So the current price is definitely value. All righty, let's move on to, we're going to have fireworks here in the expressway. Group 2, 1,200 metres. Jolly Star.
Make sure you're sitting down, buzzers.
It's only a field of 6. Magic Time is $3.30. Alentia, $5.50. Iona Merc, $7. And those are I won't even say those are the chances, because I think the best bet of the day is number 5, Jolly Star, who has an incredible fresh record of 4 starts, 3 wins, and a placing. She put down a monster figure. First up, 1,200 metres, last preparation of 104.2. That was in the show county. I know she only beat average horses there, but that was a bit of a slow tempo, which looks likely again here with it only being a 6-horse field. I just think I can't believe she's $2.50, $2.60 currently. She won so impressively first up. She had excuses second up last prep, and then she didn't have any luck at all in the Everest, was climbing all over their heels, but did start $6 favorite in that. So while I do have so much time for Magic Time, I didn't mean to create that pun then, but she has been jumping out really well. We've got a bomb fresh horse in Jolly Star, who's probably the best sprinting mare in the country, bar Ballinipatina. Like, you can sort of flip a coin which one you like more. But she does have the bigger peak rating, and I think she might make a mess of them here.
Agree. Can't believe they're betting the price they are. Sure thing than death, she is. She'll absolutely bolt in. I just wish J-Mac was on. That is my only query. But J-Mac could fall off, get back on, and she'd still win.
God, we don't help ourselves when we're keen on something.
No. This is what they want to hear there. They don't want to hear... If you want to hear the boring batshit other stuff, go somewhere else. If you tune in and listen to this, you know exactly what you get. This is what they like to hear. They like to hear complete honesty. No one's gagged. It's completely unfiltered, and that's what they love to hear. She'll yep. win. That's Have all. Moron. Don't call me a moron.
Oh, God.
Beautiful. And after Will's favourite saying that Nico does, we're going to toss the baton to Will. But you're going to be backing this horse. True?
Yeah, I will. I will. Oh. I tried to back it today, but I didn't know that the fucking you couldn't bet until 9 a.m. on Sydney. That's how much I bet in Sydney. I didn't you have to fucking wait till
I don't know. Saturday. That
Play the bingo yeah. card, everyone. Have a drink because Will's restricted.
trumpet.
Over, no.
Oh, smart panner.
I think she's the second best sprinter in Australia, and I think she was given too much to do second up. You know, everyone saw what she did first up. She was, you know, the second coming, and then she went second up, and they gave her way too much to do. And
she fell victim to the curse.
She fell victim to...
Voila, second
just
up.
Just an awful tactics and an awful situation. And then third up, she started favourite in Everest and was held up. And you know, in a better scenario, she probably wins. You know, she started favourite for a reason, and then she probably stretched her one too many times to go to the Golden Eagle. Just didn't finish off. But this won't be strongly run. It'll be slow to average, below average, somewhere between there, and she'll fit last, and she'll. They'll sort of clump up towards the turn, and she will outsprint them. If she's she's $2.50 to beat. I think she's second best sprinter in Australia, and she's got
behind two Switzerland.
Yeah, behind Switzerland. I think this isn't what they've done. I think like actual talent sort of levels. Like I'm betting on horses. I'm not saying the races they've won and all that sort of stuff. I'm saying like talent levels. What I think they can do. I think Switzerland's the best horse over a sprinting distance in Australia, and then Jolly Star, and then probably Bella Nipotina. And it's got to be Magic Time, so who's a 1400-meter handicapper. I just think it doesn't get any better than that. Like, that is – I don't bet in Sydney, and I have to break my rule because it just does not get any better. Like, she will go past and win by three, I think.
Beautiful.
Magic Time will severely improve this preparation, seeing as it's just an utterly – just. Couldn't be any more positive of a jockey change ever in the world. Like she'll just improve like 2 to 3 lengths this preparation because she's not from being Nash. Ridden by a hack.
Who? Nash or Zach Lloyd?
Geordie Childs is on Magic Time.
Nico's favourite was riding her.
I'm saying Magic Time will thoroughly improve this preparation now that she's being ridden by an actual decent jockey.
Oh, Mickey D rode her first up. Okay.
Thanks to heavens above, I can actually like her again.
Yeah, second up, she's going to the Canterbury Stakes. I've backed her $9 there.
Is there a race like the All-Aged or something like that?
Yeah, she'll probably end up going there at the end of the carnival. I do think 1,400 metres is her best trip.
I don't know if she can win at Canterbury either. Like, she's going to have to beat like Sunshine in Paris and Steffi Magnetica. Like, that doesn't get any easier.
But they might be first up potentially, and she might have the run under the belt. So that's her chance. Speaking of Sunshine in Paris,
SIP, she's a bomb fresh.
Little self-insertion. That was probably one of my most satisfying wins of the spring when she did beat Jolly Star second up. The only reason I took a set against Jolly Star was because she was $1.60 or $1.70. I was just like, nah, I'm not backing this thing second up off the biggest career peak of its life, but she's fresh on Saturday.
With an actual form guide negative, voila, second up.
Voila, second up.
Bot doesn't believe in it, and he never will, but it's a thing, so he should believe in it.
I think it is a thing. I think he does have a better strike rate first and third up than second up.
No doubt.
Yeah.
It's not a coincidence that all these good horses fail second up. He's good, but he's not that good. It's coincidental that they all just dip on purpose.
The great thing about Waller is he's predictable. He's very much a pattern trainer. If the horses draw wide, you know where they're going to settle. If they draw in and it's grand final day, you know they're probably going to win.
He's very predictable. You can get nothing out of him. No one knows where any of these horses are going.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's a bit like we'll you, talk Bob. About.
Talk about another great Waller horse resuming in the Light Fingers. That's race seven. It's a 1,200 meter group two for the three-year-old fillies. And Lady Shenandoah, well, she announced herself in the Flight Stakes and said, I am the best filly in Australia. She's $3.10 favorite, resuming at 1,200 meters, touch short of her best, from Lady of Camelot, $3.20. Manal is $5. Dance of the Boom is $13. I tossed and turned a little bit over this race. Lady of Camelot has been a horse that I've been sticking up for in recent times. And I was very close. I was very close to saying she's the one at 1,200 meters. She was unlucky behind Private Harry. And then I just had to slap myself in the face.
Yeah, thank God you did.
And go, Ben, you've labelled Lady Shenandoah as the best three-year-old filly in the country, which I think she is. Her two trials are the best two trials I've seen all summer. So she should be sharp enough to be winning this 1,200 metres first up. She posted a rating of 102.5. So she's coming off a career peak at the end of last preparation. I know all the hype was around Autumn Glow leading into that, but I really think this could be something special. And I think this could be the start of maybe not an unbeaten preparation, but I think she's going to win this. I think she wins the surround, 1,400 metres second up. And then who knows from there? She could be a legitimate Doncaster mile horse. So I'm all over Lady Shenandoah. I think Lady of Camelot will go straight to the front, but I love the barrier draw for Lady Shenandoah. I think she's only going to be spotting her about three lengths at the top of the straight. And if so, I think she runs her down. Nico.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Thank God you've passed your concussion test after you eat. Yeah. It's fair income. That
was, slip a curse. A slip of curse.
To date, she still hasn't won a race, but since she won the slipper, but yeah, I don't know. She's just, they're not going very good, are they? Waterhouse Bot, they are in some serious strife.
No, they're not.
Yeah. And I just think Lady Shenandoah is a different beast. And the little thing that annoys me a little bit about this whole three-year-old filly situation is I reckon arguably the best one we might not see again. Apparently the word on the street is she's cast. The horse has beaten this horse twice and looked like the world was her oyster.
I saw a trial from her today or yesterday. It was good.
Clean energy. She's good. Yep. She's back.
Yeah, I think she's back.
Hopefully, because the word on the street was that's why we haven't seen her, because there's been some pretty bad things going on behind the scenes. So just pray to everything in the world that I'm not religious, but just pray to everything in the world, if you do believe in that shit, that she is okay, because she's a serious talent, and I reckon she could be the best of a lot of them.
She trialed this morning. She split Enriched and Steffi Magnetica in a trial, and she looked very good. So there you go, punters.
Oh, I wonder where she goes. Maybe they're just going to take a bit of a softer option with her, but yeah, an Autumn Glow went trial. She trialed Monday.
Yeah. I'm not sure if she'll resume first up in the surround or not, if it comes around too soon, but
what other options has she got? She's not going to go race the boys.
She could go straight to a far lap stakes, the group two that Waller always uses, that 1,500 meter one. She has to be the Vinery horse.
Maybe she just steps over 15 or 1,600 first.
She could go first up 15, then to the Vinery 2,000, like third up or something.
Yeah. Well, she just has to be the Vinery horse. I think Lady Shenandoah will win on Saturday for what it's worth. Then I think she'll murder them in the surround again, and she will be Doncaster favourite, and she'll be extremely hard to beat. It looks a very set play that she's going to be there, Doncaster, no weight, third up, three-year-old filly. It's a big, Benny and I, we spoke about this today. It's a big, big couple of weeks for Zach Lloyd. He's got the keys to arguably the best three-year-old filly at the moment in Lady Shenandoah. And he's got the keys to the Ferrari, best three-year-old colt next week in Broadside and keeping the saddle warm for J-Mac while he's in Saudi. This kid's got an abundance of ability, and he just has to keep working on his craft and just keep maturing and getting better with age. And in a few seasons' time, he could arguably be the best jockey in Australia, and he can be the next J-Mac. He can be the go-to man for Waller, Godolphin and co, just like J-Mac is. He's just got to wait and bide his time, but he's getting some very good opportunities at the moment, and he will continue to get some very good opportunities throughout the spring. And I think he's this one you have to watch, because he can ride light, he can ride 50 kilos or something ridiculous. And he's going to get the opportunity. So he's got arguably two of the best horses in the next 2 weeks. So it'll be interesting to see if he can hold his nerve. But she'll just get back from her gate, Lady Shenandoah. She'll just blend him when she feels like it. And I feel like she'll be far too good for him. And I think you're getting, what, near on 350 out there at some joints. It's just...
350? No, no.
It's just...
It's 320.
It's just... Well, I took 350 earlier with a bit of a nudge. Wink, wink. So, yeah. I'm tickle pink. I can't wait for Saturday. And, I think we might see something pretty good.
I mean, you get 350, I'm almost having a bet because I think she's pretty special.
Well, you've had one. You may as well have two.
That's what I'm thinking. We'll just roll it in.
Multi?
Oh, fuck no.
You can barely get on for one bet, let alone a double.
Bet 365, back out to $3.20. So.
And I do suggest, punters, that you do have something on her in the surround as well. Yep. Lady Shenandoah before Saturday.
Manal?
Is she that good?
No.
I don't think she is. I think she was just a 2-year-old. I might be on my own with that, but I don't know. I don't think she's improved.
Yeah.
Fair I haven't enough. Watched and any the, of her trials, she just gave me that vibe last preparation.
Yeah, she certainly didn't improve. She might have held her level, but others could have gone past her now.
Like, Lady Shenandoah is as short as she wants at 1,200, but if you watch her trials, like, 1,200 is not going to get her beat first up.
Yeah, looks very sharp. All right, let's move on to race 8. Is the Apollo Stakes, 1,400 metres, Group 2. I believe it's a weight for age race. Yes, it is. And we see the best weight for age horse in the country in Via Sestina. She goes up even money favourite. She might have gone up a bit longer, but she's into $1.95 on the tab. Very interesting point. I know things have happened since, but she did start $11 the last time we saw her first up at 1,400 metres. You're now asked to take odds on. So
$13 Betfair, actually, mate.
There you go. I don't know if Boddy backed it, but the bot said, oh, hell.
That
was very sustained at this price, and you didn't even back it. You silly. See you next Tuesday. If you look on the Form King sort of ratings, she's got this incredibly big Cox Plate rating of 114.1, and then she backed it up with another very good 107.8 in the Champion Stakes. She's $1.95 from Fangirl, $4, Cheerwool, $4.20, and the market says those are the only chances. I've got Via Sestina on top. She has been trialing very well, and she might just go and win this as she pleases because she is the best horse, but is it a race I want to bet into at the current prices? No, it's not. Cheerwool has never been a first-up horse, but he has been trialing very, very good. And if he's going to beat her, if he's going to beat her, it might be here first up at 1,400 metres when there's not much intent for her. Fangirl, I think, has lost a length to a length and a half over the last preparation or so. She's still a good horse. She's just not a great horse. So I'd be 5 from 1, but I'm not betting at the current prices. Nico.
Well, statistically, Fangirl can't possibly win, so you can just gap her. She can't. She's won 3 races without J-Mac on her back from 20 starts in her life. That includes a maiden and a low race before that.
I reckon they were all Bowman as well.
Yeah.
Or at least 2 of them were.
I think K-Mac's got one on her as well.
It doesn't fit into your matrix, does it?
Well, stats don't lie, bot, and she's clearly far inferior without the world's best jockey on her. So do with that what you want. I do agree with Benny for what it's worth. I think she's probably a 2 or 3 length inferior horse than what she once was. She's still a good horse, but she's going to win it. If she's going to win another big race, it's going to be when the big guns aren't there or the big guns underperform. And I just can't see how she performs well with her jockey on Saturday. So I think it's clear race in 2. I haven't decided which way I'm going to go, but I think if you back one and save the other, I don't think you can lose on the race. I think if you play around with a little same race multi and you take both of them, if you take both of them top 3, depending where you shop, you can get around $1.85. I think that's a moral. They both will run top 3. The world would have to end for that not to happen, I think. But yeah, I'm not sure which way I want to go. Probably the smart way is to back Cheerwolf at the price because you're getting better value and you say Via Sistina, but oh, you'd be watching through gritted teeth because you take Via Sistina on at your own peril. But she also does have Kieran McAvoy, so that does put some doubt in your mind. But I think she can just carry him still. I don't know which way I'm going to go, but it is going to be one hell of a race. And I'm going to make a decision closer to Saturday. But, yeah, if you wanted to push me for a bet right now, you take both of them top three in the same racer for around $1.85, I think that's jam.
If Via Sistina wins this Saturday, I'm going to say she'll never lose another race because I don't think she's going to race on that much longer. She might go the end of this autumn. She might go the spring.
The word is that she's going to go back and defend her Cox Plate.
Well, that would be fantastic with my Moonee Valley cap on and even, you know, with the Australian racing cap on. But I reckon if she's winning this, I don't think she's going to lose another race before she retires because she's just gone to the next level recently.
This is their chance to beat her. If they're going to beat her for the preparation, it's first up 14 because they won't beat her next time at 16.
Yeah. Unless it's a heavy 10.
Then they won't run.
Yeah. I don't think you could backtail because well, you probably could, but if you really wanted
he's to. He's going forward. It's all.
No, he's not. He's not going to go forward. He'll go back to last. I think if you get $5 for Fangirl, that's a pretty good bet.
Oh, it'd be very Fangirl-like to turn up today. She's a bit of a.
No, I mean, I don't think she has to go to a best. You know, this pace is going to be slow. The reason Via Sistina went to the number she did is because she got a massive pace and a staying test.
If Fangirl gets to $5, are you going to have a bet?
Think about it.
It is her setup because it's going to be a slowly run race. She's got a big turn of foot, but
yeah, she'll.
I think she'll settle in front of a few just by default because they're all going to look to go back.
She's finally drawn a gate for the first time in ages.
Yeah, but she's drawn a gate and she's got a negative jockey change. Yeah,
she could sit one out, one back.
The other thing is if the dark clouds start to circle around Randwick and she sees a little bit of rain in the air, she might not want to come out of her box. So if
someone spits on the ground, regardless if it's grey clouds or not.
Her wheels do spin once it gets into the soft to heavy range.
Someone will spill their drink on the entrance way to her going out to the track and she'll go, nah, not today.
She's a good horse. She just has a very bad racing pattern and she should have won so many more races than what she has, but she's still been a good horse for a long time.
Yeah, she's still hateful.
Race 10. To close out the card is a 1400 meter benchmark 78. Perfumus is $2 and I'll hand the baton to Nick because that's the only one he wants to talk about.
Yeah, this horse will win on Saturday and Europa will have a city double for the day. And this horse is going over to the NZB Kiwi, I believe.
Really?
So I found something out. I actually head to New Zealand in 3 weeks and I found out that I've got a bit of spare time on the Saturday and I'm only 15 minutes away from Ellerslie. So I sent a little message to Boys Get Paid yesterday night and was like, oh, see if we can work something out. A bit of content stuff. No, they're keen. So, there's a fair chance that I could be there Champions Day watching the good ponies.
Yeah, well, they've got a fan base of like 10,000, so make sure you give us a good plug, Racing Previews.
We're going to do some content.
Don't make yourself look like too much of a tool.
No, I was very subtle with it. I let off with, if I can't
I let off with, I'm actually the co-host of Racing
Previews. I actually didn't put the Racing Preview stuff until the end. I wanted to make sure I got a response first before they were like, oh, who's this twit? But anyway.
Is this Perfumist going to like a race like the Doncaster?
No, it's going to the end, or maybe when it gets back, but it's going to the NZB Kiwi.
I think it's, no one's talking about this horse. This is a, like it's come out of nowhere. It's deep into the prep, so, you know, how much longer can it race for? But
I reckon if it goes to New Zealand, that race is worth 4.5 big ones. I think that'll be job done for the preparation.
Yeah. Just off, I know Form King ratings aren't everything, but just off pure ratings, it's got about 4 lengths on its next rival, three to four lengths on its next arrival, just at the weight adjusted ratings from the start.
It'll be very, very interesting to see what the market does with this horse. Like, are the punters going to pile into the 3 kilo claimer? I suppose a lot.
The Baltis.
A lot happens on what she does on Yorkshire. She gets Yorkshire beat. Punters are probably going to be reluctant to pile in the last. She gives Yorkshire a peach, which she will. This could be rivers of cash into her in the last. Yeah.
And if Via Sustainer wins, and every punter with a sports bet multi is going to have it rolling into Perfumist. The other horse going
chuck
to
it
the
in
MZ
the multi bot. Let's roll it
TB
in.
TB is what's the horse? The Haze horse. So it'll meet that.
Evaporate.
Shock.
No, Evaporate, the 3 year old.
It's actually I had a little look on the on Entain's, because they've got all the futures markets of those races. It's a fair income day. Like, I just looked at it and I'm like, well, Willie Do It can pay for a few drinks. He'll win the Derby. Al Vincenor will be hard to beat in the Bone Crusher against possibly Orchestral La Creek. Legado is going to be second up into her race.
Where's Snazzy Tavi? Or is she out?
No, she's not in any of the markets. She's not in that Bone Crusher market, so maybe she's gone paddock.
Yeah, maybe.
All the good 2 year olds are in the Group One, Return to Conquer, to Bravery Born. Yeah, it's a great race.
Questions?
Day.
Around the grounds first, and a back lay and a pray. Have you boys got anything on a Friday or a Sunday? I don't think I've got anything either.
Mooney Valley looks atrocious.
I will just mention three horses at Mooney Valley. The rail's at 7 meters. I know full and well, punters, that you've all been frustrated with the rail out 5 meters and it's been playing leaderish. You know, it has. I'm happy to admit it, but let's just find some leaders and try and make some money, shall we? Dreams O in the 9.55 should be extremely hard to beat. It's about $2.40 at the moment. And I've found two leaders in race 6 and 8. Parch is race 6, number 3. McAdam was very good, the favourite last start, but I don't think McAdam will be able to cross Parch. We've drawn 8, the favourite's drawn 10. Logan Bates takes 3 kilos off, and Parch last start was just revved up by the Nick Ryan horse, Engeline, who made a big mid-race move from the 700 and got our horse over racing. So I thought its will and tenacity to still finish third in that race was very good. So it's been $5 into $3.90 today. And race 8, number 7, Time Lapse. I know Documentary, the favourite, was a very smart debut winner, beat Just Like Gabu, who was a bit unlucky. But Time Lapse went very fast in front at Pakenham. One, kicked on, beat him by 2.5 lengths, draws barrier one with Blake Shin on board. And if those inside lanes are compacting and we've got the rail out 7 metres, I think it's going to start a fair bit shorter than $4.20. And I think it might be the one to beat.
Huge.
Nothing from you, Nico?
No, I don't really have a back lane to pray, to be honest with you. My best bets, I'm tipping 3 on radio tomorrow. I'm tipping Yorkshire, Jolly Star, and Lady Shenandoah, the 3 I'm tipping. I'm not tipping in the Apollo because I don't know what I'm doing yet. I want to wait till race day. And it's just those type of races are just not great. They're not great to stick your neck out because they're line call races. And yeah, I think Jolly Star's the best bet of the day. And I'm really keen Lady Shenandoah and Yorkshire as well. So I'm just happy to back those three. If I was having a bet at Flemington, I could back Revelare in the first. I think Kings Valley's the danger. And I think Switzerland will win the Lightning. Sweet. So yeah, that's me.
All right, my best bet, race 5, Randwick, number 5, Jolly Star. I'll go a Hamburg with a lot and Laid Magic Time at $3.30, who just looks a little bit short against us. And my best each way, I'll go with IME in the feature. Even though I've got Switzerland on top, I think IME, I do think she'll run top 3. Will, do you have a best?
Jolly Star. He's having a bet in the city. Yeah. That's his best.
Sure. Yeah, I'll make it that.
That is incredible.
So, punters, if you're having a racing previews multi, just have 3 units straight on.
Straight on, Jolene.
I think no strings attached still be no strings attached in my best longer price.
You guess the race and the track and the day, whatever it else.
7,
whatever else to these punters. All right, questions before we wrap up. Boom Punting, what's Bot's favourite beer?
A Guinness or any pale ale.
I don't rate either, but anyway, we'll move on. N underscore Dippy says, did Nico have a nice Mahaba day? Did you call it Mahaba day, did you?
Yeah, on radio. Yeah, well, Mahaba pulled up with issues, and you're going to get $26 to find out how good he really is next week. So do with that what you will.
I saw Geordie at the races after Mahaba ran, and I'm like, oh, how's your day? He said, it's shit. He's like, how's yours? I'm like, shit. And that was it. I said, that's racing. Mitch says on Twitter, what kind of rating does Whistler need to be winning or a podium finish at Royal Ascot versus current opposition that could be there? Probably only needs to run to like 102 to be winning at Royal Ascot. I don't really know, but I don't know what else is over there.
Doesn't matter.
But Nature, what did Nature Strip run? Like 108?
132.
No, I'm not talking time form.
Oh, in what?
Did anyone rate it? Did Dan O'Sullivan rate it? I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, it was like 114 or something.
Oh, was it?
Like no, one like 112 or
10. Yeah, I think it was like 110 or something.
Yeah.
If Switzerland can run 103, he's probably going to be winning.
But NS ran between like 107 and 109 like three or four times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was another one victim of the second up syndrome. Walla.
It's not a thing though, is it, Bot?
Will the Valley try and bring Romantic Warrior for the Cox Plate?
Do their best.
Yulong might pay Mooney Valley to keep Romantic Warrior away.
I'll text Danny and I'll say, can you please come? But I don't know if that's going to have much bearing on whether he actually comes.
Maybe we can tout J-Mac in one of our tweets and he can hopefully speak to Danny about it.
We'll roll out the red carpet.
J-Mac reads all
the tweets. Yeah, he loves it. Him and Benny are besties.
The way it works when we invite a really top international horse is we pay for their flights, we pay for their accommodation. It costs a lot. Like, you know, to bring a good horse might cost a couple hundred thousand dollars. But we think it's worth it because of all the exposure it gets on, you know, worldwide racing, and it also makes the rating of the race go up. So
I reckon, although,
what?
I reckon you won't get Romantic Warrior, but I reckon you can get the next best horse in Hong Kong, and he will make the race a great addition. Yep. Voyage Bubble, if you can get him.
Yeah, and people will say he's a miler, but he has won at 2,000 metres, so yeah, wouldn't rule that out. Which race is more likely for a blowout, the Apollo, the Lightning, or the Light Fingers? The Apollo only has three chances, so you'd be shocked if one of them didn't win. The Light Fingers is some chance to a blowout. I think probably the Light Fingers is probably the most likely, unless something in the Lightning, like a 1,000-metre horse, just gets away with it. Thoughts?
Yeah, I'd say so.
None of them.
None of them. That was from Chris, by the way. Good asker of questions on Twitter. Hefty Hog, why is Fangirl going to show Via Sestina that she's back? I don't know. Tell us why. Tell us why you think she will be winning. Joe Lynch, what price do you have Romantic Warrior in the Saudi Cup? So I backed him at $4.80. And then when I heard Sierra Leone and White Barrio came out, I backed him again at $4. So I've had an equal stake, a large stake at $4.80 and $4. So my average price is $4.40. Hayden, Dos Punting, Vedad for the place, best bet of the day. He'll run a place, no doubt. Benchy, do you like Lady Shenandoah first up, or would you prefer to wait for the surround over 7 furlongs? We're keen this week, but she will be better next start over 14. But she might have more opposition next start over 14, like if an Autumn Glow did end up rocking up there first up, and it's race on. Uphill battle. Yorkshire to continue his winning ways in Sydney. Yes. Fancify straight to the front and never headed. Will the Flemington straight favour the outside draws and see IME drop them from the 12? Is Magic Time any show if the track is genuinely wet? Can't see her beating Jolly Staff dry. Yes, I agree with that. I also agree that IME is a show from 12. But we skipped over the Fancify race, but do you think it's a deserved favourite?
Yeah, I think it's favourite. I don't know. I didn't like the race.
I liked Fancify, and I thought the market might half miss her and put her up closer to each way betting. Well, I don't
know. How could they do that?
Unfashionable colours, stable, etc.
There are a few horses in that race who are very popular horses, like your Miravale Roses and the like, who might end up being better horses, but she just gets a good setup.
Well, the issue that I found is that apparently there's going to be the wind direction and the wind speed. It's going to be hard to lead over 1,400 metres.
Really?
Which is what she's going to have to do. Well, her racing pattern is going to lead all the way. And the way she's going to be running into the breeze, and that's not going to be an easy task. But, yeah, I think she's the one to beat in the race. She's just ever consistent. She'll jump, squeeze, travel, give a good kick, and she'll be mighty hard to run down. But, you could mark her shorter, I thought
if you're going to have a bet in the race, you'd probably back Road to Arataki. I didn't think she was much worse than Fancify.
Yeah, that's true. And she's probably double or triple the price. Ryan Patton, what's your best bet of the weekend and why is it Sneaky Sunrise? I think Ryan might have an interest in this horse. I think he might be part of the ownership group. So good luck with Sneaky Sunrise. It's another My Racehorse runner. And it did put up the picket fence in its first or second preparation. So it's not without claims by any means. Crifton Boyd, does the Luca trade affect the TJ futures market? I just love some of these random comments and questions. This got 19 likes on Twitter. I gave it a nice reshare. Luca's his debut at the Lakers wasn't that good. Wasn't that crash hot, but he'll definitely get better.
One from seven from three or something.
Really?
He looked
a little bit lost out there, but he'll find his feet. He'll find his feet. He's too good not to. One thing I do think is that I think LeBron will play even better now that Luca's in, because as good as Luca is as a scorer, they're just going to be bouncing off each other with the assists as well.
NBA pun of Ben.
Yeah, I love it. Just ring me when the playoffs start. Just ring me when the playoffs start, and I'll start zooming my multi. Just
FYI puns. Ben loves a cheeky little NBA same game multi.
Yeah, well, not everyone's a boring sod like you.
Zach from the Smoke Show, Benedetta at 1,000 metres. I wouldn't have thought so.
Zero.
I think Barrier 2 as well, not a good setup. $11, no. If you want to back Benedetta, you should get at least $18 on Saturday.
She should be 50-1.
Instagram questions, Isaac Fry, hypothetical, but do you think V's unplanned laps around the valley harmed or enhanced her Cox Plate sort of credentials?
Who knows?
When you find that out, I've got some questions I want answers for.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever know the answer to that, but who knows? I think it could have had a bad effect on her mentally, but it didn't in the end. So I don't think it did any harm to her. Jordan Telfo, do you boys know when the futures markets for the Winter Carnival come out for Brisbane? I reckon March.
I reckon March will start to come out.
Mid to late March. Yeah, well, Jordan is from Brisbane, so that's probably why he's saying that. Coops, what is going on with the Godolphin? They're definitely having a bit of a dry patch.
Well, they sure. A lot of people obviously aren't really talking about this, but they have had a bit of a business restructuring. They're not getting European imports like they once did. They don't really have that many horses on the books. Like once upon a time, they were never getting rid of their horses like Sandpaper and Co. that are those solid 84 or say 78 to 100 horses. They're getting rid of them now, and it's just a bit of a breeding reshuffle at Godolphin HQ. They don't have as many horses.
And like trainers like Charlie Appleby, I know he hates the vetting protocols, so he's not bringing his good horses down either.
But I think the days of like your Cascadians and the like coming down are dead and buried.
Yeah. Who was the was it Best Solution that won a Caulfield Cup?
Yep. Yes. Best Solution. Yep.
What is your Barn Me order? Surely you're a standard mixed or a Luke special. Do you get the special?
Nah, I just like the crackly pork.
Yeah, fair. Liv had like one the other day and gee, it was amazing from Luke's. No, Tyce Hunter, he's got so many. I don't know if I can read all these out. Will, can you explain the altercation between yourself and Willow, Craig Williams?
What he's talking about.
Oh, this is interesting. I want to know now.
This is fantastic. Will doesn't want me to say any of this because he's a little bit embarrassed.
No, you're going to say it. Don't listen to me.
No, we're fucking skipping. No, we're not doing this.
Yeah, we are.
No, we're not doing another podcast. We can skip this.
Ah, There's nothing to be embarrassed about, mate.
That part I just want to know.
Mr. Brightside has just been beaten a half length.
I'm in getting the CF4 stakes. We're not doing this.
And Will's had a few sherbets, and he's got his head right in there. JD's there. Willow's there. And Will said something about going to Hong Kong, and Willow just looked at him like, what the fuck are you saying, mate? And said, you're getting a bit ahead of yourself. So it was very, very funny.
That's fantastic. That's good to hear that.
Yeah, it was very good. Tyson's got so many about that, but I'll leave it there. Coop says, what's your favourite black caviar memory? I don't have any because I wasn't really following racing. Maybe Will has one.
I remember a third Lightning.
Of course you do.
I remember staying up for the when she won Royal Ascot, and I haven't watched it since because it makes me uncomfortable seeing them get that close to her.
How would you feel if you'd launched?
Like you would have been sick, like Moods. Watch the vision of him. He's like pacing up and down.
For those that haven't seen it, if you can find it on .com somewhere, the whole documentary the documentary about how whatever happened when he was over there, it's pretty unreal stuff.
Yeah. A couple more. Tice, Ben, what was the bigger win, another Will or watching Craig Williams telling Bot to sit down? Definitely the latter. I can't read all these out, Tice. We've got to move on. Sorry, mate. Nathan, surname's too hard, bro. Don't bother. Questions in the next one. Yeah, thanks, Fair Chat. This is the one I tried to pronounce his surname. I didn't even try this time. How do you get confident locking in early prices with so much unpredictable weather? Great question. Well, if you're betting into the Sydney Autumn Carnival, then I think you sort of have to have in the back of your mind that it might be wet. Just things like that. And at the end of the day, I think you have to weigh up the risk and reward. So if you're taking $26 for a horse and you think it's a genuine $10 chance, then you sort of have to be like, well, if it's a wet track, I think it's more like a $15 chance. And then you end up just weighing up whether you still want to have that bet. So I do consider all these factors. In Melbourne, we probably get less rain and less heavy tracks than, say, your Sydney Autumn. So you don't have to think about it as much.
Or just sign up to the 6 day and let Ben tell you what to do.
Yeah, but if you just have a bit of faith and it's not betting blindly, hopefully we can turn over a couple of winners. Ryan Deeth, how dangerous is this Forever Young thing in the Saudi Cup? It's a very good horse and it does have very good sort of dirt form. But I think if Romantic Warrior brings his turf form to the dirt, then I reckon he'll topple him. I've been instructed not to read out all these other ones, but I'll move on. Dill Potts says, Bot, have my babies. Cheers for the wins, mate. You got a fan there, Will.
I'll do my best.
Just make sure you sit down.
Tice Hunter, boys, what are you looking forward to more, Via versus Wolf or the return of Toowoomba? Tyson goes very well Toowoomba on a late Saturday
especially
night.
Especially after a few sherbs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Toowoomba tips, we're going to call him.
Yeah, first favourite at Toowoomba, Droid Martin's number one. And the last one is from Bread for Sports. Which jockey is going to have the most wins at Flemington on Saturday? Mm-hmm. We've got a jockey challenge bet.
What's the market?
I don't think there's a market yet.
Probably J-Mac. Have a bet.
I'm going to go maybe Ethan Brown or Craig Williams. No, J-Mac doesn't have that many good rides, I don't reckon.
That's the thing, though. J-Mac could still win the jockey challenge with four winners or three winners.
Or Mark Zahra.
Speaking of out of form... Needs to get his ass in the gears, Az. I know it's money time now, so it's time to start stepping up. But he's not going very well. I need him to get back into form. Because he's someone I like to find.
Yeah, I think it's a very hard day to have a jockey challenge bet.
Oh, they're not good bets. They're suck bets. That's all.
Yeah, I'll go.
The only time you have those jockey multi bets is when J-Mac's going to ride a million.
I'll go Craig Williams, but it's very hard.
Wait,
All right, sweet. Heaps of questions there, but hopefully you enjoyed it. Group 1 racing is back at Flemington this Saturday. I won't be there. I've got a bit of a boys' weekend away, but Bot, you'll be there?
Nah.
You won't be there either? A week off. And Nico, you won't be there?
No, I will not be there. I find it very staggering that you're not going to be there and you've had a million bets at the shit joint.
I've got to work in the morning and I've got to get there.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. Whatever, the cover story is, pal, don't worry about it.
None of us will be at Flemington this weekend. So anyway, I hope you will enjoy it. If you do get to the races, either Flemington or Randwick, we hope you have a fill-up. We'll be back here next week for the Futurity Stakes where Mr. Brightside will be taking on a fresh and firing, maybe, I Wish I Win. See you then, guys.